With a news update on 99.7 1450 WHTC, I'm Gary Stevens. A Saturday afternoon shooting at a residence on Holland's west side has become a homicide investigation. That was the word yesterday from Department of Public Safety Captain of Administrative Services Bob Burzma after word of the death of 41-year-old Miguel Raul Zamudio. He was eventually taken to Carwell Butterworth Hospital in Grand Rapids in critical condition. After the incident, the home in the area of Van Ralty Avenue and West 19th Street, where police officers and other first responders were dispatched around 2:15 p.m. They found the victim on the driveway of the residence, along with spotting a suspect, a 27-year-old man, as he was attempting to step away from an adjacent house and flee on foot. The suspect then told officers that there was a bomb inside of the home, and after evacuating nearby dwellings as a precaution, state and federal agents were brought in, but no explosives were found. Further investigation revealed that the suspect had no connection to either the house where the victim was visiting family or the house that he was stepping out from. Zamudio and his family were outside when the suspect approached, holding a firearm, and as they attempted to get inside, the suspect fired his weapon, striking Zamudio in the head. The victim died of his wounds on Sunday. It was also learned by detectives that the suspect was involved in a domestic incident at his Harrison Avenue residence prior to the shooting, and that his girlfriend was able to flee the home after he had pointed the handgun at her. On Monday, Jarrell Alexander Lindsay was arraigned on a single count of open murder in Holland District Court, and bond was denied. No preliminary hearing date was initially disclosed. The matter remains under investigation, and anyone with any information is asked to contact the Holland Department of Public Safety or Ottawa County Silent Observer. The League of Women Voters of the Holland area has a couple of 90-minute public presentations on tap this week. This evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the offices of Latin Americans United for Progress off of West 17th Street, representatives from the League and from the nonprofit group will give a bilingual program about the state's new voting rights, have a sample voting site for participants to practice, go over upcoming elections in the area, and offer the opportunity for voter registration. Tomorrow evening from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Howard Miller Library in Zeeland off of South Church Street, the LWV hosts a candidate meet and greet involving those hopefuls for the Ottawa County District 2 Commission seat currently held by Republican Lucy Ebel. A successful recall petition drive has put her against Democratic challenger Kristen Klonyans in a special May 7th election to complete a two-year term through December, and both candidates have been invited to this event. Hopefuls for all of the other county board seats have also been asked to attend. League officials said that 14 have so far confirmed their participation. The League is also holding a high school voter registration session on Thursday from 10:15 to 11:45 a.m. at West Ottawa High School off of Butternut Drive for those who are 17 and a half years of age or older. An online link to more information on all of these events is in this story at WHTC.com. Cases of Mpox, more commonly known as monkeypox, are up in Michigan. The State Department of Health and Human Services says that since February, there have been 16 probable or confirmed cases in men between the ages of 21 and 43, and of those cases, three had to be hospitalized. Cases have been reported in the city of Detroit, along with Oakland, Macomb, Genesee, Kent, and Ottawa counties. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating a small plane crash in Tennessee that killed 45-year-old James Scarlett of Grand Rapids, the CEO of Scarlett Incorporated. That's a woodworking solutions company in Kentwood. He was the pilot and only person on the craft. The crash happened north of Knoxville around 4:30 Friday afternoon when Scarlett was trying to fly back to Ford Airport after taking off near Knoxville. The plane was found in some woods in Claxton, Tennessee. Traffic issues will continue in Grand Rapids. Northbound U.S. 131 will not reopen between 28th Street and Burton Street until April 27th at the earliest. The Michigan Department of Transportation is extending the closure for a week at least. Two lanes of the highway northbound will be closed from Burton to I-196 instead of ending at Pearl Street. The South Haven City Council is being urged to reinstate lifeguards at its north and south beaches after being given a presentation last night on a three-year, three-phase plan. Lisa McDonald is the mother of 19-year-old Emily McDonald, who had drowned in the waters of Lake Michigan off of South Haven in August of 2022.
They have the resources at their fingertips. They just need to start. No more questions, no more meetings to have meetings.
No vote was taken, but several people spoke about the idea, and the council had questions on the legality, insurance costs, and if they should outsource the jobs. The families of McDonald and 22-year-old Corey Ernster are suing the city in federal court for negligence, even though a yellow caution flag was flying when the youngsters went into the water. The 31-year-old driver who hit and killed 58-year-old Renee Rangel while Rangel was at a Van Buren County Road Commission work site will spend the next 7 to 15 years in prison. Logan Brown of Hartford learned his sentence yesterday for Rangel's death. Van Buren County Road Commission Finance and Human Resource Director Linnea Rader was pleased with the verdict.
But it lets all of us know that we matter, that every public works professional in this country matters, and that our lives mean something.
Brown ignored signs to stop for the zone, rear-ended a car, and then killed the road worker who was manning a traffic control sign. Crystal Hodgemeyer, a sister of Rangel, spoke at the sentencing.
For our road workers, I hope that this is a lesson for a lot of people when they slow down, because I don't wish this on anybody else's family.
The incident occurred 13 months ago between Lawrence and Bangor, and Brown was found guilty this past February of causing death in a work or school bus zone and operating a motor vehicle without insurance. Governor Whitmer says anyone in the state illegally should not have any access to state benefits. She said that in response to a question in Grand Rapids yesterday about the newcomer residential subsidy program, which critics such as State House Minority Leader Matt Hall of Kalamazoo have questioned. Hall has questioned the administration for several weeks if people here illegally could get a $500 a month rental assistance check from Lansing through this subsidy program.
The illegal aliens who qualify for this are the ones that are caught in this country, and then they file an asylum claim once they're caught as a defense against their deportation. Well, that makes them eligible under this program for a rental subsidy from us, or the taxpayers. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Hall has legislation to stop this effort, but Whitmer says the national border policy needs to be reformed, but responsibly. A federal lawsuit filed by 11 state lawmakers challenging voter-approved amendments to the Michigan Constitution involving elections has been thrown out. State Senator Jonathan Lindsay was the lead plaintiff in the litigation that claimed that Proposal 3 in 2018 and Proposal 2 in 2022 had blocked state legislators to enact laws involving times, places, and manner of federal elections.
We've arrived at a point in Michigan where there are provisions in our Michigan Constitution that were added that really limit the way we can make decisions about elections here that never went through a legislative process. And so we've sought to go into court and have this dispute resolved to say, look, the people send us to Lansing to do their business. We should have the ability to represent our constituents, to pass good laws about elections. And right now our hands are tied.
However, U.S. District Court Judge Jane Beckering ruled last Wednesday that Lindsay, described by some as a far right-wing Republican from Brooklyn, and his fellow litigants had no standing to sue and didn't establish how passage of these two proposals did them any injury or harm.
I'm sad to say this, but we look at the court system right now, and a lot of times the outcomes seem to be related more to a political element. And it just so happens that in this federal court, the judge who got assigned to the case is the only judge that was appointed by Biden. And so you look at this, and it's kind of, in a political sense, it looks like you had a Biden appointee, the only one who could have heard this case, step up and say, I'm going to prevent these legislators from even having an opportunity to be heard. And I know from a lot of constituents, people are frustrated when that happens in court.
Former Martin clerk Rochelle Smith, a first-term State House Republican, was also listed among the plaintiffs. An appeal of Beckering's ruling is expected. The Michigan Department of Transportation is asking Michiganders about their travel habits. The survey is meant to guide MDOT's transportation priorities for the next 20 years. Randomly selected homes in the state are being asked to take part in the My Travel County survey and will be notified through the mail. The survey will be done in three phases. General Motors is leaving the Renaissance Center along the Detroit River and moving their global headquarters to the former Hudson's Department Store site. GM has owned the Ren since the mid-1990s. Future not clear. Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan says there are plenty of options from residential to office to retail, and those will be worked out over the next year. But architects not associated with the project say the least expensive option is to tear those skyscrapers down. Ironically, the construction of the Ren was financed by The Deuce, Henry Ford II and the Ford Motor Company more than 50 years ago. O.J. Simpson's estate says it doesn't plan on paying his civil trial judgment from 1997. Although Simpson was acquitted of the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman in 1995, a civil court found him liable for the deaths a couple of years later and ordered O.J. to pay $33 million to the victims' families. Simpson avoided paying most of the money while he was still alive. Now his legal team says they don't plan on paying the rest after his death. Simpson's lawyer said, quote, "I will do everything in my capacity to try to ensure that the Goldmans get nothing," end quote. Can that be done? Ken Pizicki practices estate planning, elder law, probate services, and special needs from his law office on Holland's North Side.
So OJ's got this multimillion-dollar civil judgment against him, and certain of his assets are protected under either state or federal law. His house in Florida, protected. His pension, protected. His retirement accounts, protected. While he's alive. Obviously, the next obvious question is, okay, now that he's dead, does the Goldman family have a claim against it, and how do they get to it? Really, really interesting question.
Who gets first in line?
Well, the kids get what are typically called statutory claims, but they're minuscule. They're minuscule compared to the multimillion dollar judgment. But remember, before kids get anything, the creditors have to be paid, the creditors of the decedent. And obviously, he had a huge, huge debt against him.
So does any of those claims have any preference?
In Michigan, it's prorated. Let's say you've got $1 million estate and you've got creditors exceeding that amount. Let's say you've got a $3 million creditor, a $5 million creditor. Because I think he's probably got multiple million-dollar claims against him, right? The Brown family, the Goldman family,
yeah,
whatever. They prorate the pot.
Okay.
So you take the two claims, and you determine what percentage each of them gets, and that's part of the pot.
Then the question is then, was it based on longevity? In other words, if A had a claim in 1989,
nope.
B had a claim in 2004, A goes first.
In Michigan, it doesn't matter when the claim arose. It's the value of the claim at the time of the death.
Malcolm Laverne, who had served as Simpson's lawyer, says he has received at least one request to study the effects of possible head injuries to OJ's brain. But the late football star will be cremated and his brain will not be provided for a CTE study. Michael Lorenzen and three relievers teamed in a 5-hit, 7-strikeout shutout as the visiting Texas Rangers blanked the Tigers last night 1-0. The series at Comerica Park in Detroit continues this afternoon with coverage from Dan Dickerson and Bobby Scales at 12:45 p.m. on 99.7 1450 WHTC. Nico Horner's RBI single in the 11th inning enabled the Chicago Cubs to get past the Arizona Diamondbacks in Phoenix last night 3-2.
Honestly, felt very similar to the games we played here last September. Just kind of wild, extra innings, back and forth, big moments. And so great for our group to come out on top.
The series at Chase Field continues this evening. Seth Lugo and two relievers teamed on a 4-hit, 7-strikeout shutout as the Kansas City Royals whitewashed the visiting Chicago White Sox last night 2-0.
I felt like I had a good sinker in the bullpen, so I just went with it. That wasn't necessarily the game plan going in, but after a few early in the game, I felt like it was a good pitch to me.
The series at Kauffman Stadium continues this evening. Lucas Raymond scored with 1:17 left in the third period to tie the game.
Now here's Larkin, the Gostisbehere to Perron, left face-off circle. Red Wings dangerous. Down low it comes. Left circle. Raymond in front. Score!
And then tallied with 25 seconds left in overtime.
Gostisbehere hands it back. Now to Brinkett. Over the blue line to Dylan Larkin. Now to Raymond. He shoots.
He scores! Oh my goodness! Lucas Raymond wins the game for Detroit in overtime!
To give the Red Wings a 5-4 triumph over the visiting Montreal Canadiens at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit last night. The two teams have a rematch at the Bell Center in Montreal this evening to conclude their seasons. With coverage from Ken Gall and Paul Woods at 6:45 p.m. on 99.7 1450 WHTC. The Chicago Blackhawks are in Las Vegas to skate against the defending Stanley Cup champion Vegas Golden Knights tonight. The West Michigan Whitecaps open a six-game week-long series in Midland against the Great Lakes Loons this evening. And in Pro Volleyball Federation action tonight, the Grand Rapids Rise clash with the Vibe in Atlanta. Get the latest news anytime at WHTC.com.